Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He's worthy of praise, isn't he? Glory to God. Hallelujah. I hope you enjoyed the word of the Lord on Wednesday. I always appreciate God's presence. I always appreciate his word. His word is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it comes to eliminate the things that divide the soul and the spirit. It comes to change our lives. It comes to cause us to mature, grow up, to go on to perfection, to completion, maturity. And really, you know, one of my problems that I have, especially on Wednesday nights, is it seems like I run out of time, and then I say things that I know that I, because I understand the whole context of, you know, where I want to share and how far I get, I never really know. And sometimes I think in my mind ahead of time, I'd like to get to this point because I never like to leave the service with an incomplete thought or a point of the day. But that happens sometimes, and I know when I repeat things, it's not always clear if I've repeated them once, twice, 100 times. I'm not sure, and that's quite all right by me, but I really think that if we do hear things over and over and over, it's not a bad thing. And so on Wednesday night, we talked about that the contest, the exhibition, the moment in time was beginning. It had begun for Elijah's portion. You know, other than the, for me personally, you know, I love the fact that when the prophets of Baal were doing their thing, that Elijah stayed focused on the task that God had called him to. An Elijah ministry, a prophetic church, must stay focused on the task that God gave, not the task that man thinks God gave. I thought about this many times lately, that if the church would only do what God told them to do and stop doing all the things that God never told them to do, we'd be way better off. You know what I'm saying? We have a lot of religious activity, a lot of motion, a lot of things to get off course. Whether we like it or not, God said Adam and Eve in the garden, and then he interjected another voice. Just like he put Jesus in the wilderness and interjected another voice. He was led of the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. And Jesus has an ordered life, or had an ordered life, right? And we'll get to that this morning real quickly. But I like the fact that they continue doing their thing. They prophesied from morning till noon, and then from noon to the evening sacrifice. I told you I really thought, or I had another picture of them cutting themselves. Another thought was they were carving their own image of what they thought God should be in their lives. But at the same time, oh hallelujah, Elijah stayed focused. There's a lot of things in life that are determined to get his people off focus. The sad part is most folks never know when they are. Corey, could you turn the blinds? That, unfortunately, here in March, and the snow is blinding me, looking out those windows. You don't have to close them completely, but sorry about that. I can't see your faces without the glare. You may have to close them. Now I'm seeing spots. Sorry about that. Ooh. What's that? Yeah, when you look out there, and the strange thing is the sun's not even shining. It's just straight up snow. But anyway, Elijah got the people to come near, if you remember that. And he began, what was the main objective? What was my point on Friday night? Or Wednesday night, sorry. Wednesday night, I meant to say. Anybody remember? It's the key for the fire to fall. Remember that? What's the key? What's that? Nope. That needs to be restored, yes. That was one of the things I did say that, yes. Repair the altar. Repair the altar. It's a picture of the cross. It must be repaired. And what it's really referring to, well, what's that mean to me? I'm not going to hang on a literal cross. You're right. You're not. I know at Easter time in some countries, people still try to replicate that. I don't know if it's just I don't know about you, but you must be out of your mind to let someone nail you on a cross. Just not to kill you, but just something's not right. It's just not right. But then again, the prophets of Baal cut themselves. Right? Some people like pain in pleasure. And I don't want to go there, if you know what I'm talking about. And remember this. If it happens in the natural, it happens in the spiritual. Both good and bad. All right? So anyway, it means to you and I a life of sacrifice. And the reason it has to be a life of sacrifice, let me rephrase it. This is what it's based on. 12 stones. What were the 12 stones? Ordered life. An ordered life. Who does the ordering? The Lord. Now watch this. If the Lord orders your life, can you alter it or change it? It's not a trick question. Yeah, you can, only in the sense you can't change the order, you just don't follow it. Watch. Adam, don't eat from this tree. Ordered life, right? Now, unless you're a 21st century Christian that believes that God only has good for you and nothing will ever blah, 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 and watch this. He commanded him, don't eat from the tree. He didn't say, now, Adam, please don't eat from this tree or I won't give you. He didn't say that. He said, Adam, don't eat from the tree. Because if you do, you're going to die. So his ordered life was altered when he made his own decision, or he ordered his own life, or took his life into his own hands. So the contest began. He repaired the altar. And then he told them to dig a trench. Remember that? All around the altar. What was the trench for? I don't think I made this very clear on Wednesday because I was getting a little excited and trying to get done and got ahead of myself, and I should just take my time. But if I remember, I did ask you to repeat this with me. Lord, dig us a trench. You remember that? Dig me to be a trench. Do you remember why? The seed went in there, remember? But what was the trench for? Yeah, it was for water, but watch, I'm not being very clear. It was a channel, a conduit. God just wants to work through man. He doesn't want to work through angels, even though he does, right? But ultimately in the earth, he wants to work through man, okay? A trench, a conduit. I think we used to sing a song, "Make Me a Conduit for Your Glory." Remember that? I'm your house, O God. And that's the whole point of this section right here. I'm your house, O God, a conduit of your glory. Watch. I have a question for you. If you have water coming into your house, right? You turn on the faucet, water comes out. It travels through a course of conduits, basically, right? Pipes. The important part was, is it the pipes? Well, pipes are important because if you have a leak, it's not good. Or like yesterday when I sprayed the ceiling and everything else because I accidentally turned the valve, right? Actually, I put the handle back on and I actually put it right side up, but it had to be really technically upside down. And so therefore it didn't lock. And when I turned it past the quote unquote lock position, Dale and I took a shower in the bathroom. Not in the tub together. But anyway, the point is the water is the important part. The word, the seed. Everything that's in the trench. Now, the pipe is important. The trench is important. The conduit is important. You are important. But you don't want to be a piece of old galvanized steel that's all rotted and decayed, Adam. Are you with me? And that was the point when I said about Hezekiah made conduits to bring water into the city, didn't he? Oh, hallelujah. Did you hear what I... Come on, Jesus made conduits to bring his life into the city. Or watch this. You and I become a conduit to bring his life into open view. All right? And then we talked about how much water he brought. Anybody remember how much water? It's easy if you look at your Bible right there. How much water did he bring? He brought 12 barrels of water. Three times. Right? So how many does that mean? How many barrels at a time? Four. And the reason it was four? Global. This is a global operation. This is a global outpouring. And I know we can equate it to, you know, if we look at the time for the prophets of Baal, morning till noon, you know, the dawn of the church, early church, all the way to the Middle Ages, noon, middle. Right? Then they prophesied for six more hours to the evening sacrifice. Okay? Nothing happened. The truth of the matter is, not much has happened in the church. We had two outpourings. We had Martin Luther around 1500 something, where we can say that he nailed his 90 some thesis, five, I believe it is, on the Roman Catholic Church, where he said, the just shall live by faith. See, here's the problem. You want to know what the problem we still have with Christianity today? One of the things, we not saved by works. Not so then we go into this mode, you know, most people, it's not by works. So then they adopt the mentality, I don't have to do anything. God loves me so much, he'll just accept me the way I am. But really, if the writers would have really wrote it like this, it's not by works of flesh, then we wouldn't have so much confusion. But the problem is they didn't write it that way, so therefore we need the Holy Spirit to interpret for us what is he really saying. Because James said, listen, faith without works is dead. So in other words, if my works aren't the work of the Spirit, that water and seed made life inside the conduit of me, I understand. Can you comprehend this? Do you understand? Listen, we are just a clay pot, a clay jar, a earthen vessel. Like Elijah, a man of like passions. Right? We're human. But what God wants to do is change our Adam humanity into Christ humanity. Watch. Hew. What does hew mean? Cut down, right? But on the positive side, hue is a rainbow of colors. A different hue, right? Different than what? Adam. But like God. Are you okay? You see what God's trying to do? So he's trying to get you and I to understand that this has to be a global operation. So now we've come to the time of the evening sacrifice, right? And he's done all this. And all the water is poured into the trench, right? First, I want to reread this. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 18. I caught something that I didn't catch before. I missed it. I want to rephrase this. Okay. They poured the water where? Where did they pour the 12 barrels? Where? No. On the sacrifices, yeah. He poured it on the sacrifice. Because remember when I said this the other night? You're pouring water on the sacrifice, the wood, the rocks, how in the world is it ever going to catch on fire? So in other words, watch. He put the sacrifice in an impossible position. Well, why would he do that? What was the reason why he did that? To show that the Lord is the God that answers by fire. So this is a place of impossibility. See, we want God to always to work in our possibilities. Do you realize that you and I, we can go out, you know, look, I'm remodeling a bathroom. I can remodel the whole bathroom without God and then call it God. Why can you say that? Because it's not a thing of impossibility, is it? You don't even have to know the Lord to remodel a bathroom. Am I right? Well, I give thanks to the Lord for all things. Wonderful. That's what we should do. But that's not my point. He put the sacrifice in a place of impossibility. And the reason for it was he wanted to show who was Lord God Almighty, because he had declared the word of the Lord that God was only going to answer by fire. And the reason he did this, okay? Remember what their God was? He was the sun god, Baal. Remember that? He was a ball of fire also. And by the way, what happened in their 12 hours? Not a thing. Nothing. Can I say this to you? Everybody listen to me. While the other side or the other crew was doing their thing, Elijah stayed focused. Do you know why Elijah stayed focused? Because, let me tell you, if people will keep right on doing what they're doing without an answer for 12 hours, you aren't going to change their minds. I tell you, I've been around a long time, and it is not doesn't take very long to find out who will and who won't change their minds. And I usually find out, not just in this church, but in many churches that I'm affiliated with, that the folks who don't change their mind will change their location. And the reason they do is because God opens a door. Just like he did for Balaam. And say, will you walk through it? And usually when most folks do, they'll say, God opened a door for me. And he always does. But you're not going to change their mind. And so Elijah stayed focused and told them, hey, I want you to see this impossible situation. 12 barrels of water. Not ordinary water either. Where'd this water come from? Anybody remember? It came from the east side of Mount Carmel, a spring that not even Ahab knew about. Which, by the way, Ahab represents religious Israel. Mongrels, half-breeds, half-hearted Christians. You're pretty mean. No, not really. Just reading the Bible. Now, I understand, maybe you don't like the way I say it, but hey, I like being theatrical. I like being extreme because it gets our attention to understand, right? If we're interested. So here I wanted to read this real quick. He told him to do it a second time. Verse 33, he told him to do it a third time, right? And the water ran or walked round about, right, the altar. And then it says, watch this, and he filled the trench also with water. So not only did he fill 12 barrels of water and pour it on, he also filled the trench with water. And the water ran in a circuit, a circle, okay? And why did it run? Because God's purposes are circular. Remember I said that? I like that because we've been talking about that for quite a few months in the last year, that God does things in what? Cycles. He'll even let us learn lessons in cycles. We can go back, right? We can go back and eat the vomit again, like the dog, right? Or go back to the mud hole again, right? God will let us, won't he? Only hoping you won't do it another time. And the reason God does that is because of his mercy and his grace and his love towards humanity, that he wants to see humanity come out of the prison house, place of limitations. Why are we doing Elijah ministry, prophetic church? Does anybody remember? Because God has chosen this as his purpose, a man-child, a corporate man, a seed that becomes many, to not only change individual lives, but more importantly, to change the church. And once the church is changed, he's going to use the church to express his manifold wisdom to change what? The globe. Yeah. This is the part the church doesn't get. Now, do I believe that this can manifest itself now in an impart realm? Absolutely. Look, you're here because whether it was in your generation, you personally, or your parents or previous parents, or if you're a first generation, somewhere along the line, someone expressed or manifested Jesus to you, right? And so God has this gathering this way, but ultimately, look, it's not just about winning souls for Christ in the sense of we have people coming to church and serving Jesus. Wonderful. No, it's about God gathering, watch this. I know this will ruffle feathers. Jesus said the elect. And Paul, or not Paul, but Peter wrote, make your calling and election sure. Now, can I say this? I'm not there yet. He answers by what? Fire. Watch this. It's not an ordinary fire for non-ordinary Christians. I'm just telling you. Have you had the word poured on you? Is the wood in order? Is the rocks in order? Have you been cut and filleted? And I, can I say this to you? And I don't mean to be mean, but if you haven't been cut yet, you understand what I'm saying? Circumcised in water baptism, you can't get the fire to fall on you in this dimension. Watch, I baptize. Watch, can I say this? I'm not there yet, but look, it was baptized, the altar here was baptized with water, the Spirit, and with fire. Do you see that? All right. Verse 35, actually, I read when the water ran around about in the circuit, all right, and the altar, and he filled it. I like that word, filled. He filled the trench full. I want just a little bit of water, just a little bit of Jesus. No, I'm not satisfied. Can I say this? You remember when David went to the cave of Adullam? And he had 400 people with him. The three D's, let me see if I can remember what they were. It's been so long. They were in debt. They were in despair. I don't know if the word was desperate. I can't remember the third one. You have to look it up. It's in Chronicles. I think it's in Samuel also. And here's why. It was all from Saul's system. Saul's system will do that to you. Remember, Saul's system's religious. It's Christianity as we know it. But these 400 men, they knew they wanted more. Watch this. Can I use this term? Do you have a divine discontentment within you? That says, God, I want more. An obsession within you? That said, God, I'm not totally satisfied. I thank you for where you've brought me. I thank you for everything you've done in my life. But God, I know we need to go on to perfection. There's more than this, God. One of the things that has bothered me since the late 90s was the "it's finished" crowd running around "it's finished." And if you look at most of the people who preach that message in my circles, their lives are messed up. And the funny thing is, now that it's filtered out into the nominal Christianity, most of those folks' lives are messed up too. Now, if you create your own standard of what you think that is, it's a different story. The thing that was missed about the finished work was his finished work works in our lives so we can become a finished work. Because I found out a finished work is a pile of ashes. And most folks that preach the finished work never want to sacrifice. Impossible situation. Do you know why we have to have an ordered life like Joseph, where you get thrown in a pit and then you end up in a palace as a slave? And then end up in a prison because someone falsely accuses you? Are you ready for this? Is you'll never walk it on your own. Adam just plain won't sacrifice like that. I don't believe that's true. Then why do we spend most of our time, talent, and treasures, money, trying to make our lives way more comfortable when most folks... You know, we all went to Applebee's last Sunday, but I don't know if you caught it. Did you see the man come in the wheelchair with his legs cut off, like right here? Like, I've seen amputees like here and here and here, but I mean, he was like right up here at the groin. Did you see him? No, I saw him. And I just ask God every time I see something like that to forgive me. For how unthankful we are. Now that dude could live in a multi-million dollar house on the lake and have the greatest of everything. But I don't know about you, I'll bet you'd take his legs back in a New York second. Would you cut off one of your legs for the best? I'm just saying. Why do you talk like that, preacher? I only talk like that is because I think one of the biggest problems we have is deception in our own minds. I think we believe that we'll do things, but when it comes right down to reality, it usually doesn't happen. And that's why God has to order or force. You know what the weird thing is about God? He's weird in this aspect. Some folks he'll force to do things they don't want to do. And other people, he'll let them make a choice. And that messes people up because they think God treats everybody exactly the same. And it's not true. It's never been true. Watch. Who else besides Jesus did he order to hang on a cross? Nobody. But is Jesus the only person who ever hung on a cross? No. All right. Are you with me? Okay. So the water ran round about the altar and filled the trench full of water also. If I went to Revelation chapter 22, verse 1, you don't need to turn there, I'd read this verse. And he showed me a pure river of water of life. See what this river is? It's a river of water of life. Clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. This is why Jesus declared, up out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. It was a little recap of what we talked about on Wednesday, plus some, all right? Verse 36, are you okay? Everybody with me this morning? Am I making sense to you? I really do believe this. Like, I'll ask Tiffany a question. She's a school teacher, right? What you teach what, fourth grade? All subjects? Okay, so I'll just pick the main four. When you teach them the main four, reading, writing, arithmetic, what's the other one? Reading, writing. Whatever they are. The four things you need to really learn how to do. Maybe I didn't learn, or maybe I'm just too old. But you do it because you want them to learn, right? Not all kids will want to learn, do they? No, they take the easy path, don't they? The lazy path. It's not important. Don't need to know that. I do the same thing. Oh, yeah, Corey's a school teacher, too. Kaylee's a student. Sayla will be a student next year. Well, this year, actually, next school year. Are you with me? Are you all right? And you teach it to them whether they want to know it or not because you think it's what? Important. And the reason I'm teaching you about Elijah ministry, prophetic church, is because this is what God will do. I can't guarantee you it'll happen in your lifetime. Because even Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour. But here's one thing I can guarantee you. If you're not prepared, you won't be ready. Even Jesus said, it will come as a day or as a thief in the night. The day of the Lord is like a thief in the night. In other words, he's just telling us it's unaware. Because if you were watching, you'd know when a thief would show up, right? See, we don't get it. We don't like the Old Testament because it's old. But really, when they put men on the watchtowers and they put them along the wall, the reason was they were watching, right? To make sure everything stayed the way it should. Whether from the enemy or from good travelers came. Not just enemies came. Right? All right. Here we go. So I teach. I continue because the preacher was wise. Just quoting Solomon out of Ecclesiastes. He gave what? Acceptable words. All right. Here we go. Verse 36. And it came to pass at that time. What time? The time of the evening sacrifice, right? Are you ready for this? Time. It's a kairos moment. It's a suddenly. Are you with me? In other words, it was a time that God had prepared and had pointed to, even if nobody else was ready. Everybody remember Simeon? When Jesus was born, what did he say? Does anybody remember? He was in the temple, and this is what he said. He said, the Christ, God showed me, I will not die until I see the Christ. Isn't that what he said? And the only thing he knew, he didn't know when, he just knew he wasn't going to die until he saw the Christ. Okay? It was a suddenly. It was a kairos moment. It was an epiphany. Epiphania. You understand what I mean by that? It was a suddenly. Okay. It was at the what? Time of the evening sacrifice. Now, I know I said this the other day, but I want to say it again. Are you ready? The evening sacrifice, this was either at the ninth hour, which was 3 o'clock, with about 5 hours left of daylight, okay? Or it was around sunset. Remember why it was the evening sacrifice? The evening sacrifice was the second half of the continual burnt offering. One was in the morning, one was in the afternoon. The morning represents Jesus. The afternoon represents us, a corporate ministry of Elijah, a corporate church, okay? I'm still talking in waves, because if you understand this, Jesus, a man-child, but a man-child teaches a church so that the church can teach the globe, all nations. Are you with me? All right. This was either at the ninth hour, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, with about 5 hours of daylight. Or it also took place at sunset. I think I told you this the other night. The number 9 represents what? 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 9, ninth hour of the day. 9, watch. How many digits? 0 through 9. 1 digit each. Final. Comes to an end. Then we go into what? Double digits. So 9 speaks of finality. The whole point of this, watch this, are you with me? The whole point of this exhibition, he's bringing everything to a head, to a finality. Oh my God, I just had a little hukumashai. What God wants to do is to bring our limitations to a finality. And he's done it in Jesus. But there's not been another human being who has put on the full measure that he has. And he's not going to do it in an individual like the church thinks. No, he's going to take a whole group, a seed crop. A finality of limitations. He's going to get Egypt out of our minds and hearts. Are you with me? Remember, Egypt's a picture of Look, when Joseph was in Egypt, he ruled everything. But what did God tell Israel? You don't belong here. This is a problem with the church. My God, he's blessing me to no end. But they couldn't believe it. You know what I find out with a lot of folks? They're always telling you how much they're blessed, but they're always complaining about their circumstances. And it doesn't matter if they're believers or unbelievers. They'll tell you about all their riches, and then they'll turn around and complain about how bad things are. That's why I say when I see someone in a wheelchair like that, or, yeah, it's tight, but it's right. Evening sacrifice, right? And oh, by the way, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, what did he say? It is finished. It was more than just a doctrine of some message of a finished work. It was a reality that he had brought humanity to an end, the way it was going to live. Well, wait a minute. Humanity's still living and dying. Exactly. Because we've not overcome, not works of the flesh, by the works of the Spirit, so that we can measure up. Because watch this. I have a question. Did he pour out his Spirit? Did you receive it? So it's an earnest to get the ball rolling or to begin to take the journey down the path, the way, the road. Watch, Jesus is the what? Way. It's only the first leg, 30-fold of a 100% journey. Okay, here we go. All right. It is finished. It's the hour of prayer. Nonetheless, the time marked the end of the day, the end of the contest, the end of an era. Watch this. It shows a picture that it's pointing to the end of an age. Look, through the course of time in history, there's been a lot of good things and bad things going on at the same time. Are you with me? A lot of good things and bad things at the same time. But God's after Christ. All right? Okay, let's keep reading. And it came to pass at the time of the sacrifice that Elijah, the prophet, now, don't just picture just him here, picture the corporate Elijah, came near. What did he come near to? I want you to think a little bit here. Is that how you do it, Tiff? Now think. Oh, no. Okay. What's one of your tricks when you want him to answer one of your questions? What? Just wait. Are you with me? I'm not trying to embarrass you, right? Tiff's not embarrassed when I talk to him. I'm just trying to be a teacher. I want you to think. Because, look, I don't want to come in here Wednesday and ask you a question, and then you say, oh, geez, I don't remember. I told you what 2 plus 2 was. It was 5. Don't you remember that? Who did Elijah draw near to? The Lord. The Bible says, draw near to me, and now what? Draw near to you. How do I know that he drew near to the Lord? See, here's an interesting thing. The people drew near to him, didn't they? And all he was doing was pulling them to God. You ready? And Elijah, the prophet, the corporate Elijah, came near to God, just like the people came near to him, and said, Lord God. Look, he didn't draw near to the people here. He drew near to God because he was about to have a conversation with God about the assignment God had given him. Watch this. Are you with me? Can you hear this? Elijah's assignment was not diverted because of all the prophets of Baal. He stayed the course. And he drew near to God and said, Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Oh, don't you find it interesting that he did not say Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Corey gets that thinking face. He's like, his eyes squinting. He's like, I got to think about this for a second. I appreciate Corey. He's always thinking. Corey, are you an overthinker? Are you with me? Why did he say Israel and not Jesus? I mean, Jacob. He's the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac. Because how many times have you heard that? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And, you know, I just bring that over into, you know, our understanding. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. But Jesus even told you and I. That's only half the story. The reason he said Israel, because Israel became, watch this, unless the corn of wheat fall in and ground in. Die. Come on. Because what did Israel? You'll no longer be called what? Jacob. But you'll be called Israel. And the truth of the matter is, what happened out of Jacob? A whole nation down in Egypt, the ground, the place of limitations, was birthed. And now here at the time of Elijah, he was not trying to save an individual. He was trying to bring a company of people into their destiny, into their purpose. They already thought they were. We're in the promised land. No, no, no. You haven't even got it because it's going to go way beyond you. Watch this. Let it be known. Ascertained by seeing or recognized. Are you with me? This day. Well, what day is he talking about? Listen, let it be known this day. Let everybody see this day. What day? The day of the Lord. Let everybody know and recognize and see that this day is your day. You're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and all of Israel. Let it be known this day. Let it be seen. Not just heard with the ear, but let it be seen. Let it be known this day that thou art God, Elohim, in Israel, and that I am thy servant, that I have done all. What did he say? I've done part of it. I've done all these things at thy word. You know what I found interesting here? Watch this. If you think I took my liberties about Jesus and Jacob, and watch this. When I read this verse, this is what comes to me. You ready? That thou art God in Christ. You ever read that verse before? What was he doing? Reconciling. First or 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, go read it. That God was in Christ. Look, that God is in Israel. Because Israel is just a picture of the Christ. Well, I don't know if that's true. Really? Jacob became a nation. Jesus becomes a nation. A body is what he's after. Is that not true? And I like what Elijah says. And this is for, you ready? How do you get an A, Tiff, Corey? You have to do it all, huh? You have to do it all. You can't just do, you know, there were 35 questions and I just decided I didn't want to do five. Matter of fact, not only can you not skip them, you have to get them right. He said, I've done all. All. I've done all. Everything. Everything that you asked me to do, God, I did. You know what Paul said? He said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly calling. Well, I don't know about you, but I like this. And the reason I like it is because God's after a corporate people that'll be able to declare, Father, I've done everything you've asked. I think Jesus said the same thing, didn't he? Now glorify me with the glory. Are you all right? And the reason God has to have a corporate ministry that does everything, not just what they decide, when they decide it. Remember the Brook Cherith, the widow woman, all the way to this point of meeting Ahab and now having a contest. He did everything God had required of him. And God was dealing with him all along the way. Watch this, for no other purpose but to come into the fullness of what God is after. God doesn't deal with people for no other reason than to get them to come into the purpose and align them up with what he's after. All right. Watch this. I've done all these things. Watch this. At thy word. At thy word. Are you with me? Say it with me. At thy word. Watch this. It was a Bible revival. He did what the word told him to do. He didn't manipulate it. What did James write? Don't turn your, what? Grace into lust or lasciviousness. Don't pervert the word. That's one of the saddest things we have today in the church is perversion of the word. And the reason it happens is because they don't understand, don't want to understand what the purpose of God is. It's about sensual feelings and making me feel good right now. Watch this. Paul would have never wrote this to the book in Romans, to the Romans in the book of Romans. It said, listen, the sufferings of this present time. What present time? Living sacrifice. They're not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. Now watch this. You know what at thy word in the Message Bible says? You ready? Under your orders. Did you hear that? Anybody remember what the word hupomeno is? Hupomeno? Stay under. That's all God ever wanted us to do. I need a word from God. The question is, will you stay under it? God spoke to me. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, but will you stay under it? What does that mean? I did it, all of it, at thy command. Are you with me? If I went and read, I think it's 1 Kings, or maybe 2 Kings chapter 11. No, 1 Kings chapter 11. We find out Solomon, one of his problems was what? He followed his wives. What does that mean to me? His own ideas and his own thoughts got him sidetracked from the purpose. And I'm going to tell you right now, Elijah ministry cannot get sidetracked. They have to stay under the word. Are you all right? Oh, I'm going to ask the question again. Are you all right? Watch this. Lord, back up your word with boldness. In Mark chapter 16, watch this. I know a lot of people quote this, but are you ready? And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them or in them, and confirming the word with signs following. Confirming the word, make firm or sure, establish. Remember the first part? Let it be seen. Hello? Let it be seen. Right? Make it known this day. What day? The day of the Lord. I do believe this. I believe we're in the day of the Lord. But every new day starts out dark. That's all I'm telling you. When your watch hits 12 o'clock midnight, it becomes a new day. Right? I think. I suppose we could get into this debate, right? Did it actually end or did it start? You know, I'll say this. It does both at the same time. Are you with me? I'll take that. Are you all right? The Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel is the one and only true God of their patriarchal, I can't even say it, ancestry. All right? He is, everybody watch this, the God of promise. He's the God of miracles. He's the God of transformation. Jesus went up in the Mount of what? Transfiguration. Watch this. I had this thought, and it's a little goofy, but he forms figures that looks like himself. Are you with me? Transformation. Are you all right? I know sometimes I can throw a lot of information at us, and we may lose track of what's going on, but I don't want to lose sight is this, that there must be a corporate ministry that stays under the word and obeys all the word. Watch this. Can I say this? I know we only put this in the terms of money, but it actually has to do with more than just money. I think it's Proverbs 3 about verse, honor the Lord with all thy substance. You have to give him your all. He who loses his psuche life, mind, will, and emotions will do what? Find it. It's easy to quote. Not so easy to live at times, right? Right? What's the first thing that needs to be repaired here? The altar, the place of sacrifice. Not my will, but thy will be done. I want this, I want that, I want that. Look, it is a place of sacrifice, but it's not even really in the avenue of what I'm talking about. Now look, he's continuing, verse 37. Hear me. It's the same word as answereth in verse 24. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me. How many times did he say it? Hear me. How many times did he say hear me? Twice. Watch this. Abraham, Abraham. Why is he saying it twice? Wants to establish something in the earth, doesn't he? Hear me. He wants something to happen in the earth. What does he want to happen in the earth? What does he want? He wants fire. But watch this so that they can see it. Not so that they can be, so he can be somebody. He already knew, right? He already knew who he was. Yeah, he didn't have to tell anybody. Are you with me? And look at, depending on your point of view, from Ahab's point of view, he was a troublemaker. But from God's point of view, he was the answer. He was the conduit. He was the vehicle that God was going to display. Watch this. A panoramic view of the end time for you and I. Well, if it doesn't happen in my generation, then you better stay prepared so that your children, the next generation, can get it. Just saying. And I say, from the time your children are born, begin to talk to them about circumcision, filled with the Holy Ghost, and baptized with fire, because they could grow up and never take part in the reality of what God has for their lives. And just because you've been circumcised and even had the Holy Ghost a little bit in your life, you need the fire. You need an experience that you've never had. Okay, I'm back. Are you with me? Hear me. He's trying to establish something in the earth. Hear me, O Lord, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou, through this Elijah ministry, has turned their heart back again. What's the whole point of an Elijah ministry? I started this thing months ago. What was it about? Jesus declared, he's coming to do what? Restore. What's he restoring? The hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. Has nothing to do with gender now. Has everything to do with the power of his spirit and the excellency of who he is. And this Elijah prophet here, this Elijah ministry, turns the hearts of the people. Watch this. No, you haven't even got all this yet. He's declaring this before it even happened. Now, I can't tell you if all the people turned or not. I know Jesus' faith turned my life around. Are you with me? God wants to bring a people who will do all, obey all, to have their faith. Watch this, have all faith, full faith, complete faith, not an impartial realm. Can we work in the incomplete realm? Absolutely. But I'm going to tell you what, the difference between an incomplete realm and a full realm is night and day. He turned their hearts around. This is what he said, right? Turned, it means to turn about, turn around, turn back, turn toward, change direction. Now I'm telling you, this church, these folks, these church folks here, they did not think for any moment in time that they were going the wrong way. Because why? Remember? Do you remember? They were mongrels. They were half-hearted Christians. They served God on one hand. They feared the Lord, remember? And served the gods of all the folks' mindsets running around between their ears. This Elijah ministry is a ministry of restorations, isn't it? It's a ministry to turn people's hearts. I tell you, the prophet declared, and he couldn't do it until he came into a position of doing all. We have a lot of people, you know, we got a lot of people because they got a message and so they declare. Are you with me? But you can't have all faith if you can't even follow all the word. I cannot. But what we're talking about here is a corporate ministry that has come into the fullness, a first fruit company. A people, watch this according to Revelation 12:5, who are caught up to God. They drew near and his throne. It's like Enoch, right? And God just did what? Took him, seized. Are you all right? Verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell. Hallelujah. The answer came. It wasn't just a message. See, this is what burns in my heart. I believe the message. I believe the messenger. I believe everything that God has taught. By the way, if you wonder who the messenger is, it's the Holy Ghost. He's working through me. He gives me the opportunity to teach you. But I'm telling you, I believe his word. I don't even need to see to believe. Some folks do. But I'm here to tell you, God's after something. A manifestation, an expression of his fire. Watch this. And the fire fell, it came down, right? And consumed, it ate, it devoured. God was hungry. I told you this the other day, God's hungry. He's thirsty too. What's he hungry and thirsty for? A living sacrifice. That's what? Holy, I like this, acceptable unto, watch this, God. Not to myself, not to yourself. God's hungry. He's hungry. He's thirsty. If you don't think so, when he went to the woman at the well, what did he say to her? Give me a drink. Are you ready? Well, I don't have anything. Yeah, well then if you knew you didn't have anything, you should have asked me to give you a drink so I could show you how to give someone else a drink or give God a drink. Are you with me? The fire fell, consumed, ate, devoured. God was hungry to hear that kind of prophetic prayer. And, let's see, the burnt offering, or the burnt sacrifice, which is the olah, that's the Hebrew word, and the wood, humanity, and the stones, and the dust. What are the stones? The ordered life, right? The dust, the wood, the dust. What's dust represent? Earthy man of the dust, right? It burned up humanity also. Just another picture, right? And it licked up the water that was in the trench. This fire, everybody say this with me. This fire is no ordinary fire. Because if it can burn up, fire can burn up wood, can't it? And it can evaporate water. But it burned up the stones. It burned up the ashes. It burned up everything till there was nothing left. God was hungry and thirsty. He consumed, watch this, every bit of it. All God wants to do is consume everything that is not of his and that is his. Are you with me? Oh, hallelujah. Can you hear what he's saying? Listen, he consumed everything that was on that. The God that answers by fire. Remember when Samson's mama met the angel out there? He said, I won't eat. I won't eat. And then what happened? A fire came down. Remember that? And remember Abraham, a fire walked between the pieces of the altar. Remember that? five different animals, all the different offerings there. God wants to consume everything. Why does he want to consume everything? Anybody know? Here's why. Because that when he's all done, the only thing that is left is himself. The only thing that can be seen is himself. Sacrifice. The altar must be restored so that the hearts of the people can be changed. Are you with me? God's after something. I know I said, I'll stop right there. Let me just check my notes here. So, I told you this already. The altar was baptized with water and the Spirit, right? And with fire, wasn't it? I want to say this too. Look, how many meals have you ate in the course of your life? So God ate that meal, didn't he? With the real Elijah. But he showed us a picture because he does things in cycles or circles. He wants to eat again, just like you like to eat again, right? Am I right? Well, guess what? He's still hungry and thirsty. What's he hungry and thirsty for? Everything that those things represent in the natural for the spiritual, he's still hungry for that in our lives. All right. He will consume us until we are fully in him, and Christ in us will become us in Christ. Look, well, I already am in Christ. Praise God. Well, Christ is already in me. Hallelujah. But what God wants to do is have it in the 100% category. You ever study for a test? Got a 98% on it. Oh, I'm so happy. No. You're not as happy as you would be if you had 100%. Just saying. I just got a raise. How much money did you get? I got like $5,000. Wouldn't be as happy as if I just got $10,000. Are you with me? You get my point, don't you? Don't overthink what I just said. What I just said was this. We are not fully 100% enveloped in Christ, Christ in us, and we won't be until the only thing that is seen is him. Just saying. Right? Because you still get to see some antichrist when you look in the mirror, don't you? What's the mirror? The Bible. Christ in us will become us in Christ, and only he will be seen and heard. We would see Jesus, and then guess what? Every eye will see him, right? They saw the fire. They saw a corporate alive. See, if you really look at this, the fire was Jesus, wasn't it? Are you with me? The whole earth will be filled with his glory. I want to say this. I was going to let you go, but I'm going to finish this. Then I can move on to the next section. This whole scenario could be preached in a 30-fold realm to an unbeliever. You ready? The repaired altar foreshadows his cross. The 12 stones are the marked, ordered life of Jesus. The trench is the impasse between God and man that only could be filled with water. Jesus is the Word. Are you with me? The bullock pictures the supreme sacrifice as our heavenly offering. He is the whole burnt offering. The cutting of the bullock describes as being cut for our sins in blood covenant. All right? Jesus was cut, right? The bullock was cut. Is that not true? The bullock was laid upon the wood. Jesus was nailed to the tree. The fire from heaven that came down, it licked up the sacrifice, shows that the heavenly Father consumed the perfect, sinless offering, his only begotten Son. The fire from heaven also shows that a righteous and holy God vented all of his fiery wrath upon himself in the person of his Son. I'd like to reiterate that point for when you talk that Jesus' sacrifice was God showing his love for us, which is absolutely true, but it also shows his wrath towards humanity. Are you with me? And the reason is because, watch, you may not like this, but explain to me what was the result of Adam's disobedience? Death. And God hates death. He just does. I know, they're getting tired and wore out. All right. The slaying of the 450 prophets, we're not there yet. Are you ready? Reveals that all enemies were dealt with in his finished event. The great outpouring of rain that is about to come, we'll get there, all right? Followed this scene points to Pentecost and the upper room. The blood predicates the oil. All right, let's stand. I know, you're going to have to reread that or have me reiterate that. When things get a little running around and we don't always hear, but God's after something. So you know what's cool about this scenario? It's no different than any other portion of the Bible. And I wish most church folks would actually get this. It's old Brother Varner saying, the truth is like an onion. It has multiple layers. But until you and I understand this, and I think we do, but until folks understand this, watch. God shows us, what does it say, Proverbs 22? He shows us the excellent things, doesn't he? What does anybody remember what the word excellent means there? Threefold things. So in other words, you can learn this in the 30-fold realm. And you can think you have it all when you understand that. And you can learn this in the 60-fold realm. And you can think you have it all because you understand that dimension of it. But until you and I lay hold of the 100-fold realm, and I personally believe, that you and I haven't even had 100% 60-fold realm. We haven't even seen the fullness of Pentecost. Just saying. Not trying to be mean. Okay. No, listen, you missed my point. I'm thankful for everything that God's done up to this point. But God, he's ordered us to go on to perfection. That's my message. And I understand that the mode of operation, watch this, I told you this, how come Cornelius didn't have the angel do everything for him? How come the angel told him to go get Peter? Because God has decided, everybody with me? He's going to use a man. An M-A-N. Which, by the way, includes men and women. Because it came out of Adam. And Adam came out of God. Just saying. And all God's trying to do is to get you and I. Look, it wasn't an ordinary fire. I don't understand a lot of things, why things happen certain ways. But I do know this. God will bring an unordinary, is that a word? No. A not an ordinary fire to not an ordinary people. I know I'm borrowing this from, I think the first time I ever heard this was Lynn Hiles way back in the 90s. And I know most of you were just being born, but watch. I'm like MC Hammer. I'm too legit to quit. Just saying. I have a lot of ups and downs in my life, but I'm going to tell you what. And probably more ups. Some tough downs. But I'm going to tell you what. He won't let me quit. I don't want to quit. I want to see the fire. I want to see the fire in all of you. And then, watch. Remember the five things? By the fire, near the fire. I want to be as fire, don't you? Like the fire. Our God is a consuming fire. He comes to burn up the what? Wood, hay, and stubble. It refines the silver and gold and brass, right? And when he's all said and done, you have an image that's bright and shiny, just like him. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you for your word, God. I thank you for your word, God. Oh, not just the teaching, but an expectation, a desire. You're hungry, so I'm hungry. You're hungry within me. See, remember that's the whole point of fasting? Without fasting, you'd never understand what real hunger is. It's not an endurance contest. I always remember this. Anybody remember when Bill Clinton was the president? He used to make this statement all the time. I feel your pain. We have a God that can feel our feelings. He's touched by our infirmities. Watch, our infirmities isn't if I limp, and yes, that's an infirmity. And I know the reason most people want to deal with that first is because they're always looking on they're fleshly people. They're carnal Christians, and all they think about is naturalness. When God says the infirmity is between our ears, the way we think, help me, Jesus. So that God, like David declared, that there'd be nothing in me. Nothing in me, God. But you and you alone. And God, I only say this in principle and not even a full understanding, but God, have mercy on us that the glory of who you are can be seen in a people. Watch this, God, in this day and hour when it seems impossible to most folks. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We worship you. Amen and amen.